I'm not going to get into that gospel, except what I like is Christ came to set us on fire with the Holy Spirit, so we should be burning up with love of God and ready to preach the good word to others. I'll take that part, the rest of mother and daughter, and I'll skip that for today. And as Norb mentioned, excuse me, my name is Father Paul Fagan. Most of you know me from being around the area. My folks moved here in 1960. I think that's about 52 years ago or something like that. It's quite a while. And so I've been coming back to Prairie du Chien for many years from Tanzania. But I didn't grow up in Tanzania. I grew up on the Doc Brooks Road on the farm a mile down the road when you go down from 18. And that's been between Patch Grove, Mount Hope, and north of Bloomington. And I imagine many of you have gone up and down that road before. So that's where I got my start. And I always told my dad, I'll always be home and I'll be farming with you. And my brother went to the seminary in 1947, and I was putting hay out for the cows. And after my brother left, there was just my dad and I in the barn, and I said, well, you're never going to catch me going up to that big city, Milwaukee. I wouldn't come near it and leave home. 1948, guess where I was? I was in Milwaukee. And I knew it would happen. We were on the bus. I was with my brother Peter on the bus going down Kinnickinnick Avenue to the seminary. We got there and the door didn't open on the bus. So the bus started up and we went to the next stop. And my brother, you got to step on the step. It's not going to open. Well, they didn't teach me that on the farm. So that's how I, only God knows how I did what I did and ended up going east and further east until I ended up in East Africa in Tanganyika back in 1960. And so it's been, I celebrated 59 years of ordination a couple months ago, and it's hard to believe. God works in strange ways. I don't know what did in your life, but I know he did strange things. Excuse me for turning my back on you. There, that's better. Otherwise, you're going to get a crick in your neck. Oh, I'm just happy to be here. And I'm also, I love traveling and meeting people and saying Mass, telling my story. This is the 28th time. So I'm kind of happy it's the last one for this year till we start over again next year on the 4th of July weekend up in Rhinelander. So it's not that far away. There's a lot of things to share with you, but a lot of them are written in a brochure, so that saves a lot of talking, and I'm going to get to that. I just like to mention that not only do we have a parish of St. Peter's in the Diocese of Shinyanga in Tanzania, but we took part of the property of the parish to build a dispensary, later a health center. Now we're registered as a hospital. We still have some legal things to finish to put the sign up that we are a hospital. There's a few things we had to get done yet, but we are a hospital and we treated almost 15,000 patients this last year. Some very serious. We did a lot of operations. So it's no small thing, and it's called Sanga Mbele. We make one word out of it. Sanga means go like this, and belly means forward. You can have sangha nyuma, and you can go backwards, but this is sangham belly. We don't want any of that nyuma, backwards stuff. We want to move forward. And I deliberately chose that name rather than a saint's name or mercy or whatever, to show that we're in a remote area. My parish borders on the Serengeti Plains, the Serengeti National Park, where there's millions and millions of wildebeest and impala and Thompson gazelles and all loads of animals. And that's where we have established a village. Once upon a time, it was only, when I got there in 1967, I spent 7 years in Chenyanga at Cathedral Parish with the bishop. Not like a cathedral here, but that's what it was. I was with the bishop. And I got assigned to Old Maswa in 1967. I'm still in the same area. We opened 3 new parishes out of the old parish, and I'm living in Kololo, one of the new parishes. And the pastoral work is different than it was 50 years ago. We had so many baptisms, thousands of baptisms. Now people are struggling to make a living, getting their kids through school, and we got so many people. And try to have a catechumenate. Here they have it at 6 o'clock in the evening or 7 o'clock. Everybody gets in their car and drives, and all the lights are on, and 2 hours later you go home. Well, it doesn't work that way. People don't have cars and to come in. The people right nearby, but we just live. People get up early and they go to bed early, because a lot of them are in the dark. There's electricity in our town now, but not everyone has it. So it's a change. So we're busy. There's 17 churches in our parish. And the parish is only a quarter of what it used to be. It used to be one big parish, now it's 4 parishes. But we do have 17. We have the parish church, we have 3 centers, and the rest are smaller outstations. We do have Sunday Mass at the parish every week, and then myself and Father Mashaka, my associate pastor, we go out to another center or to an outstation. Our Masses are, in a sense, the Mass part is the same, but how we participate in Mass, and it's quite different. We got so many people who wanted to serve Mass. We have 7 servers every Sunday because we have incense every Sunday, and we have, I don't know what they all do, but everybody wants to serve. So, to be out there. And also, children. Oh my gosh. There's so many kids. They're not baptized yet. Many have not received the First Communion if they were baptized yet. They're children, then they're older ones. We teach them in our parish hall before Mass, and they come in at the time of the prayers of the faithful. But there's 350 of them. And when it comes after the sermon and we recite the creed, then you have the prayers of the faithful. And I tell them, well, let them in. Don't hold them. They got to get in time for the offertory. Can you imagine 350 kids piling into church? So there's maybe enough chairs and some. Our church is big. It's 110 by 80 feet wide. We get a lot, we can get 1,000 people in. But that's with some standing room. And they come in and they come in and they come in. But they're good. It's amazing. At the end of church, as I do here, when I say Mass, I have several minutes of silence after communion so that people have a chance to meditate and talk with Christ. Can you imagine when you have 300 to 400 kids in church, you can have silence for 2 or 3 minutes? Can you imagine? And we do. It's amazing. And we have two choirs. We have the adult choir, and then we have the youth choir. And they sort of compete with each other. It's our turn, our turn. And they sing, and we sing everything, you know. So our masses are not an hour with announcements and everything. So that's a little history of the church part. The church is going. Sangam Bedi Hospital is going. I was amazed when we used our QuickBook program to put out some reports on the attendance we had. We treated almost 15,000 people this year. And of those, there were infants. We did treated 755 infants. No, very small. And that's not easy, because they can't tell you what's wrong. And so it's hard to know it. And you have to be good. You know, like, they're not going to say. You have to, I wonder what that is. Try to find out. But also, children under 5, but not infants, we did 1,524. They were patients. But the ones older than 5, my heavens, 9,086. That's a lot of children, about 12,000 children. And the adults were 1,636 adults. And we did 808 blood transfusions, many of for the children. And fortunately for the children, you can, one unit of blood, you can divide up 2 to 3 times and for the children. And we have so many with malaria. You're not familiar with malaria, but it eats up your red blood cells and your hemoglobin goes down to 1.5, 8, and you know 1.5, you're as good as dead. But if you can get a blood transfusion, 2 hours later, they're crying. It's like a miracle. You know, people are crying, my baby's dead, you know, dying, died. No, they're just hanging there and get that blood going. You're back to life again. You can't believe it. And it's such a joy. And that's the great part of doing medical work is saving lives. We're there to save souls, but you got to keep people alive so you can save their soul. So we're keeping a lot of people alive, thousands of them. And with your help, obviously, because it's not me, what have I got? So that's what we're doing. We have 2 operating theaters in our operating suites building. It's a big building with a lot of rooms and 2 theaters. And we had 90 major operations, but that's nothing. We had 220 C-sections this year. So, and that was my number one. If we did nothing else in an operating theater, we could just save the mother and child. And so we had 220, that makes 440. We had 2 stillborns, so it's 438 lives that we saved. And if we don't do it, the local hospital, the government hospital, you would not want to go into their operating theater. You would feel very uncomfortable because it was closed for a while. They reopened it, but it's got a long ways to go. Ours is beautiful. It's all tiled, the proper floor, all the lights. We got everything you scrub in and everything. It's just great. And people will bypass other places to come to our place. So you can be proud of what you've done here in Prairie du Chien to help me do what I'm doing. Obviously, I'm not a doctor and I don't know much about what I'm doing, but we're doing it anyway because it's God's plan. So he's doing it. I'd like to get it done a little quicker, but it doesn't seem to be in the plan. I wish I was done, but we're not. So those are major things, life-saving operations. And we had 1,539 minor operations. That's a lot of work, too. And we did 388 normal deliveries, thanks be to God. And we had in our inpatient ward 1,867 that were admitted to our beds. We have 66 beds. We're aiming for about 100. We're going to add more. We a children's ward, finish our maternity ward, and it'll be about close to 100 beds. And this is a paying hospital. You know, there's no way that we could afford hundreds of thousands of dollars giveaway. Well, everybody would be there. But it's a paying hospital. Those who can't pay, we take care of. If we find out it's really true, that they have nothing, and that's very rare. Most people can find a way to pay. There's extended families. But we are, for a bed for one night in one of our beautiful wards, it's not $1,000. It's not $100. It's a dollar. You believe it? It's a dollar. You know? And it's hard to believe, but it's good care. You got a beautiful bed, the hospital bed, a good mattress, mosquito net. You got good care, and you get it for a dollar a night. And I think that's pretty good. I think our C-sections went up to $150. They were $75, and we weren't making it. There's just too much equipment involved. Now, I imagine if you added $150, add another zero, it might be like here, or maybe twice that much. I don't know. I have no idea. I know our prices are reasonable, and we do a good job. We've saved a lot of lives. So that's what happened in the hospital. I have a request. Obviously, I need help to get these down to the people that can't reach them. Can you reach them there, or should I slide them down? I slid them down. There. I hope the rest of you will do the same thing, slide them down. I would appreciate very much if everyone gets one in their hand. I get them down here. There's more. Everybody's got to have one. And we're going to start with the red part. Can I see the red part? You got it? Yeah, okay. Everybody got one? I know they're out there. I put them out. So they're there. So I just want you to notice the information on the red part, and then we'll just briefly go through the rest. And look at the smile on this little Russian-born baby, Ilusha, this boy here. He was the greatest. He came with his father from Boston, who adopted him. They were just there in May. And this little girl couldn't resist getting close to Ilusha and putting her hands in his curly hair. And he sort of have an embarrassed smile on his face here. But the important thing is contact us. So you know, when you take this home, you got to look at this. Roads to Life Tanzania Incorporated is our tax-exempt corporation. When you make out your check to help us save lives over in Nkololo at Songombele Hospital, you use that name, Roads to Life Tanzania. And then it goes into the Roads to Life Tanzania account, and we wire it over when we need it. And when we have it, sometimes this past year, about 4 months ago, I had to send the workers home. And you know why? Because I ran out of money. We spent it all. I thank you for all that you gave me, and the good news is it's all gone. I spent it. And I had to come back and get started again. And it came through Roads to Life Tanzania. That is the tax-exempt corporation that supports the means by which you can support our hospital, expand it. We're not done yet. We have a long ways to go. I'll be telling you about that. And it will go on without me. It's going on without me now. I'm on the board, but I'm not the head of it. My cousin and his wife and other board members run it, and so when I'm gone, through mail, information through mail, it will continue. So don't think that everything's going to stop with me. It's not. We've been thinking a lot about that, you know, and we're it's arranged so things are going to go on. And then if you wanted to talk, there's someone, a real person, there's Mary Wiedinger Schillander, my cousin's wife. Everything is Roads to Life Tanzania. That's her email address, mary@roadstolifetanzania.com. Our website is the same thing, roadstolifetanzania.com. And so that's how you can find out more information. A lot of pictures there, different categories of things about the hospital. So that's that part. The rest of the important part, we did this up this year. Mary did most of it, and I provided information. The story of Songambele. It's sort of like a small book here. The setting mentions when I first went over there, and then I started medical work in 1983 in Old Maswa that I talked about for 40 years, and then I moved to one of the outstations in Old Maswa, became a parish of Nkololo. And that was 1994. Before I even moved out there, we started medical work in Nkololo. And I always said, I want nothing to do with medical work. It's too difficult. And I was right. It was too difficult, but I started it. And it's been very difficult. Building a parish, building centers was easy. When you're dealing with lives and people and 63 member staff in the hospital, that's not easy. And we're doing it anyway. So we go through 1994, 96, and on. You can see the progression that we've had until 2019. This year, we received a 40-foot container, and that 40-foot container had loads of medical supplies in it. It had a very important kits for our ICU, our intensive care unit. We had five units, one pediatric, the other four for adults, and they come in kits, $18,000 kits. They have everything you need for intensive care. We're still learning how to use everything with your monitor, your breathing, and then programmed, it's a computer program, injection of medicine. We're going to have all that. And we have it right there, and we're working on using it. The important thing now is this coming year, which is just around the corner, as far as I'm concerned, we got a lot to do. We did a lot last year. It cost a lot, but we still got so much more to do. We put up a 144 by 40 foot maternity care center where it's a one stop. You know, like you got stores here in one stop, Johnson one stop. Oh, this is Songambele one stop for maternity. And we do everything there. It's going to have operating theater. It's going to have three delivery beds. And then you got the ward and places to stay. We got everything. But we got the building up. We got the walls, the roof on, a rough floor, and we ran out of money. So we got all that to do yet. And then we have to equip it, two different things. Finish the building, finish the equipment, and we have an operating theater for orthopedics. It's not, we don't have the equipment. We do have the bed, we do have the anesthesia machine, we have the proper flooring and air conditioning, but we got stuck. That's as far as we could go. We had to stop again. And we need a children's ward, we need private rooms. Private rooms! Yeah, we do. People have money. We got over 40 million people in Tanzania, and they're not all poor. And some of them live in our area. Some say, oh, those poor people. Does anybody pay? Of course they do. We got people with health insurance. We got people that have jobs, and they come to us for medical care, and they pay it. It's very low cost, but nevertheless, they do pay. So they do want private rooms. They ask us, well, you have a private room for my wife. Well, we do have two. But I got a whole building with my architect friend down in Texas and stuff. We made a beautiful building, and adapted a little bit to our space. So we got all that. And we're looking 2021 and beyond. A great dream of mine is to have a nursing school, you know, but you got to have $2 million to get it going. And that's, it's not much for God, but it's a lot for me. It's a lot for you. But it can happen. It will happen. And the way you can help me is through, you take an envelope home along with a brochure, please, please, please. Okay, okay. Because you might use it, you might not. Next week, next month, next year, maybe never. But if you don't take it home, you're not going to help me. I'm up on the front line. I got to have people behind me. And it'd be great to have people from home behind me. You know, I started in Patch Grove, but we've been 52 years here, too. So that's quite a few years. It's, so I hope you will consider sometime in your, the next year of helping me. Good news. I'm done. I'm just going to invite you to a party on the 13th of September 2020, when I'll be celebrating my 60th anniversary of ordination. And I will be celebrating it right here, the 10 o'clock Mass, and with everybody that can get here and celebrate. And afterwards, I've reserved huckleberries. And for next year, the 13th, 5 years ago, I did my 55th, same date, same the 13th of September. And it was a Sunday. It was the same thing, amazing. And so we're going to do it again. And of course, God willing. You know, but that's the plan. And you're all invited. I'm not going to send invitations. Why? This is home. So you invite the people from home. So God bless you all. See you next year up at here in church for my 60th and up at Huckleberry's to have a great afternoon. And God bless you all, and thank you for all you've done for all the years and listening to me a long time today. But it's my last one, so I went a little extra. God bless you all. Thank you. Uh-oh. Okay, thank you, Norm.
Just a couple of announcements. The Parish Knights of Columbus are sponsoring a back-to-school breakfast right now in the Fellowship Hall at St. John's. It's open to everybody, and they're going to extend, they're going to serve until 12 noon, and the Grand Knight says, everybody, please come on down. They'll be serving, well, plenty of time. It's a good meal, pancakes, sausage, French toast, all the trimmings, a chance to visit and enjoy a good brunch.
Before I give you the final blessing, I just wanted to say, this has been great. It was a great being with you here, praying together with you. And don't forget to pray for me. I need it. You need it. I need it. Let's pray for each other. And I pray that you will help me by taking home a brochure and an envelope, whether you use it or not, but at least it'll let you know what we're doing. And you might sometime in the next year be able to help us. That's between you and God. And it's just been great, and again, I give you the blessing in the language that we pray in as Kiswahili, and you simply say, Amina, coming from Kuamini, to believe. You say Amina instead of Amen, so it's Amina, and that's kind of easy, isn't it? So we'll say that. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Mungu Mwenyezi awabariki, Baba na Mwana na Roho Mtakatifu.
Amina.
Nendeni na amani, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.